This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Monday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. I think April Wise Day. How about that? April Fool's or April Wise? I think we are all wise. So anyway, you're wise for tuning in today, and we're thrilled to have you back here. We have another action-packed program with a lot of exciting information, what's going on, some of the latest things happening that will impact your world. And we're going to hear about the bet who won between Alan and I of what happened at the tech conference here in just a little bit. But we're here to help you advance your career and stay informed on all that is going on in the industry. So how's your weekend? Alice says she got snow up north. Unbelievable. Well, it was beautiful here. We were outside working in the yard and then going in and catching the March Madness games. I tell you, my wife and I are addicted to March Madness. There are so many good games. So we're down to the Final Four bracket. How's your brackets doing? Mine got busted early on, but my daughter's lasted. She's not a basketball fan. My oldest daughter is, but our youngest daughter, actually, she made it the furthest of all of us. So kudos to Christina there. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is, again, to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. And we have as our special guest today, Laura Brandeo, and she is from Parsippany, New Jersey. She is the president of American Financial Resources, and we're going to talk about some of the trends going on with wholesale. But the best part is when I put it right behind, listen to anytime and anywhere, she and her husband, she lives and works part of her time down in Arizona. She was just telling us before we started the program how her and her husband, she forces her husband to listen to the Lickin' On Lending podcast to get an update of what's going on. So anytime, anywhere, and even forcing spouses to do it. Now, is that a form of spousal abuse? I don't know. Depends on if their spouse's interest. No, he's enjoying the program and learning a lot about the industry. But I'm looking forward to having one of our regular listeners on the program, Laura Brandeo. So anyway, that'll be later on. We're going to talk about the shift in the industry and the rise of the mortgage broker, some of the latest, hottest trends going on there. But before we go there, we want to go first into acknowledging and thanking our sponsors. The Mortgage Bankers Association of America is at the top of the list, and we're so grateful for our association with them. Their tech conference that they put on last week was really interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. Listen to their presentation. They are part of the conference there. Rich Gagliano did a great job on running one of the AI platforms there. I was hoping to meet Supi Safavi, but go back and listen to that podcast. Really, really good. Black Knight, leader in the industry, and we're so glad to have them as a sponsor. Also, Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans and the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Go to their website and learn why. I can't wait to make an announcement, about ready to make an announcement about a recent acquisition they made. So pretty exciting. Anyway, Finastra is back. We're so glad to have them here with us. Finastra's Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction. And it allows you to increase your productivity and gain greater market share. Very strong in the banking and community banking and credit union communities, but you independent mortgage bankers need to check them out. They're doing some things, especially on the point of sale side, with their mobile app, how to connect with customers. Check it out. Get a hold of your local representative. And then I also say a special thank you to Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these co-ops create competitive advantages for both lenders and vendor members. We're proud to be members of both. They both do a great job, and I encourage you to check them out. Again, go to Lenders One, Google Lenders One, or T TMC or the Mortgage Collaborative and learn more about these and their upcoming events. Then Velma, Brent Embler and his team have an efficient mortgage email and marketing platform, one that we use regularly to get the word out about our podcast. And then also Knowledge Group, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. They've got some great training tools up there. Go over to their website, watch some of the videos they're doing. They're fun, sometimes edgy, and I just love the creativity goes on there. Things that they're working on as far as pushing out notifications that I think are really innovative and powerful. I encourage you to check out Velma.com on that one. Vidyard, they are the online video platform for business, which allows you to increase leads, accelerate your pipeline, and connect with your customers via video. Again, I keep saying how much we're using video in our business. It is making a huge difference. And those that do use it, use video, very powerful. I encourage you to check it out. And how Vidyard goes about that is unique. Special thank you goes out to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions to the podcast each and every week. I saw Rob Van Raphorst at the conference yesterday. He apologized for not getting his report over to us before we went live. That guy is one as busy as a one-arm paper hanger. He's just and a great guy. But let's go over and listen to Rob now. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. This past Tuesday and Wednesday, the Senate Banking Committee held hearings on Chairman Mike Crapo's housing finance reform outline. MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith testified at the Wednesday hearing alongside other housing finance participants. Chairman Crapo emphasized numerous times that GSE reform remains one of his top priorities. Also on Wednesday, the White House issued presidential memoranda on the need to develop robust housing finance reform policy across multiple federal agencies. Specifically, the memo directs the Treasury Department to publish a framework of administrative and legislative options to reform the GSEs, while directing HUD to undertake similar analysis with respect to FHA and Ginnie Mae. MBA President and CEO Bob Brooksmith issued a statement applauding the memoranda. And finally, this year's National Advocacy Conference will take place next week, April 2nd and 3rd, at the Capitol Hilton in Washington, D.C. Speakers will include HUD Secretary Ben Carson. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yep, and when he said next week, he recorded that last week. That is going on this week, April 2nd and 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. Check it out. A lot of the future leaders are a part of that, and they're there, and I think it's so important. So are you have your people involved in the Future Leaders Program at the MBA? If not, I encourage you to do so. Got to go into the session or into a reception put on Mortgage Action Alliance. If you're not a part of the Mortgage Action Alliance, I encourage you to do so. Bob Brooksmith and his son was there, George. It's great meeting him. The whole team, the whole MBA team, it's just so much fun to see them, and we're so grateful for our partnership. Doing a great job, MBA. Kudos. Keep up the good work. Talking about the digital business card, and so here's the latest testimony. This last week, I was at the conference. I hand out my digital business card, don't even carry any of my other cards anymore. They scan the QR code that's there, or I email it, or I text it to them right there while they're there. Quick link, they open up, and they almost invariably, they go, wow, that is cool. How'd you do that? But here's what's really cool for me. They get a wow factor. They like it. They start looking through it. I get notifications when they go back and look at it. I can tell who scanned it, when they got the notification, when they opened it. And I'm able to put a big note to them and say, hey, thanks. I really appreciated meeting you. And they go, how weird. I was just looking at your digital business card. Yep, I should have said, yeah, I know that. And that's why I gave you a quick message. But I tell you, folks, this is such a powerful tool. It's the way of the future. We're getting digital. Digital mortgages, digital everything. Is it a time that you consider a digital business card? Check it out at the top of our website, Lickin' on Lending. We have a special link, and you can learn more about it. Les Parker does a great job with his TM Spotlight and a music parody. Let's see what he has for us this week.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by LoanLogic. Is there any deal out there? Because it's getting harder and harder to breathe. In spite of the muddy, low volatility that castrates bulls, the docile oxen forge ahead. The trend to lower rates holds, regardless of occasional slips. The European Union and the UK want a negotiated Brexit deal. The time constraints add pressure. After making a three-point shot to tie the game, what happens in overtime? Who wins? Who plays? Who fouls out? Prime Minister May be out soon. the uncertainty of Brexit implementation influences U.S. interest rates. When bulls feel that Brexit, will they wish that they had May to hold? These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Is there anyone out there? Because it's getting harder and harder to be.
I love that music. Good job on turning up the TM Spotlight. Check it out, tmspotlight.com. Subscribe to Les's email. I've been subscribed to it for over 30 years. I love what he produces. He always got a music parody mixed into it. I know some people say, I can't understand it. Well, start reading it. You'll start understanding it. At least you'll start understanding from a macro standpoint. But we have Joe Farr here to help us understand the here and now. What's going on? What's happening today? What happened last week? And what we can look forward to this week. Good to have you here, Joe. Appreciate you.
Thanks. Not a great day for mortgage rates. MBS prices are down close to a half a point. You know, that's affecting rates by, maybe 8 or so basis points, which is a pretty big move. The driver of it, stocks today. You know, we've kind of been disconnected between stocks and bond prices, but we're back in it here the last few days. And so as stocks have moved higher, MBS prices have moved lower. Stocks right now are up about 275 points. And as I mentioned, MBS prices are down close to half a point. And the driver seems to be good data. Early this morning, before markets opened, Chinese manufacturing data came in stronger than expected, which led to better futures in the stock market. And then early U.S. data, which the 8:30 data that comes out Eastern time, really wasn't a big driver. Retail sales came out, even though it was weaker in the February data, was weaker than expected. January data was revised higher, so kind of offsetting. But then the 10 o'clock data came out, Dave. Construction spending and ISM manufacturing both exceeded expectations and pushed MBS prices lower. So again, MBS prices are down. They just made a little rebound here, so they're now down 12:30 seconds. Stocks are still in that up 275 range. Looking at last week, there was almost no net movement in mortgage rates last week.
Yeah.
The February housing data that came out during the week was mixed. Housing starts were weaker than expected. Pending home sales, which is contracts signed on previously owned homes, fell a little bit. They were expected to fall because they were coming off a very strong January. So it wasn't really all that concerning that pending home sales fell in February. New home sales were very good. They beat expectations, and realtors would say it had to do with a couple of things, rising wages and lower mortgage rates. So love seeing that. During the week, we had consumer confidence come out, which did not meet expectations, fell below expectations, but consumer sentiment exceeded expectations. So, kind of offsetting data there. And core PCE came out late last week, and it was up only 1/10 when two-tenths was expected. So good for mortgage rates, that another sign that inflation's not a big issue. That was January data, as the Commerce Department still catching up after the government shut down. What didn't happen last week was
Great
Brexit
Britain.
Didn't get resolved.
Yeah.
As Les alluded to. Interesting to know that additional votes are expected this evening. And one of those is on something that's being referred to as the common market. That has some people somewhat optimistic that a deal, something might get passed. And what that common market would be is it would have Great Britain retain greater economic ties with the European Union while they would still achieve a political sovereignty. But the downside is it comes with freedom of movement, and that freedom of movement includes goods, services, capital, and people. And people part is what's really got a lot of those who would be considering a vote on this upset. They don't like the idea that their borders would essentially be open. And so that's still a concern. As Les mentioned, it's still a concern, will be a concern until it's resolved. Another vote tonight, time's running out. April 12th right now is the current deadline. And it's something that as this week unfolds and certainly next week, it could be a significant event in the markets in both Great Britain and the United States. The economic data that is set to come out this week includes the jobs report, which, will come out on Friday. 170,000 net new jobs are expected. You'll remember only 20,000 were created.
I know, it's disappointing.
So and that was a blip. You know, this is 170 is more in line. No change in unemployment rate is expected. Average hourly earnings are expected to drop a little bit. They're expected to show a 0.2 rise in average hourly earnings, down from 0.4 last month. Both are good numbers. Annual rate is seen as staying right at 3.8%. Also this week, we're going to see durable orders come out. That's February durable orders be released tomorrow, and ISM services on March. Both are pretty significant economic reports. And then trade talks with China. Some talks were concluded this week, last week actually, with some positive movement. Talks are scheduled to resume later this week. And so, you know, that's a big event out there. That gets done could be very positive for the stock market, which, as we saw today, could be negative for mortgage rates. So certainly worthy of your attention. So be on the lookout for both Brexit issues and, you know, maybe progress on China.
Two external items to our economic data.
And the jobs numbers.
Jobs numbers on Friday. That's going to be very, very interesting. Interesting that wage growth is still staying steady at 3.8. I mean, nothing setting the world on fire, but at least it is there. Any more talk about raising minimum wage? Have you heard anything more on that lately?
Dave, I have not. You know, I think that getting much done in Congress is difficult, obviously.
Yeah.
So my guess would be it's not going to get done. But.
Nope. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I tell you, I was talking to someone from England. They were saying, I got to tell you, this issue in Brexit has many factors mixed into it. And one of which is there's whole sections of London where the Muslim population has taken that over and there's Sharia law and the police don't even go in there. There's a lot of emotion going on around that. Very, very interesting. And it's many people want their country back is what they're saying. And this is going to have some interesting connotations or ramifications to it, especially when you look at open borders.
The freedom of movement of people. I mean, that's what's driving what may sound like an easy solution for Brexit to have a common economic tie, but to have national sovereignty comes with a very negative aspect to having the freedom of movement.
It's a big issue, and I'm starting to hear more about it when I talk to our friends and family that are over there. Good job, Joe. Appreciate you being here with
us,
always giving us some insights into what's been, what's going on now, and where we're going this week. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you, friend.
You bet. Thanks, Dave.
You bet. We're going to run over and talk to Scott Gordon in the Open Mortgage when he is talking about the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Last time we examined the first element of a story, a relatable hero. Today I want to examine the next essential element every story needs, a relevant challenge. The challenge is the obstacle or opportunity your hero faces. For example, a company, one of your competitors perhaps, could be the obstacle. A particular situation could be the challenge. These are gold mines for scenario-based stories. The economy, another gold mine for stories for millennials and seniors alike. Robbed of their ability to purchase a new home if it were not for you. Please note your challenge does not always have to be negative. An opportunity, for example, could be the challenge to which your hero rises. Without a challenge or obstacle, your stories are boring and useless. Let's take a look at a series of escalated challenges. Sally goes to the store. Who cares? To buy some groceries. Still don't care. For her 5-year-old daughter, Carolyn, who is sick and hasn't eaten in days because her home was robbed. Their food and emergency money were taken, and her paycheck from her second job will not be deposited for another 3 days. Okay, now I care. It's up to you to understand the purpose of the story and scale the relevant challenge with what your relatable hero is capable of, as well as serving the overall message of your story. Challenges face both you and your borrowers on a daily basis. Make note of them, harness them, and make them your own to turn yourself into a story-selling machine. Remember, crafting effective stories is a science. There are formulas to follow that will yield measurable and proven results. It's not magic, it's the science of sales.
Yeah. so true. The science of sales. Good job, Scott. Appreciate that. Music was a little loud this time. Overpowered a little bit of the message there, but I thought it was good. Good message, and someone can tell a great story. It's Alice Alvey, and she puts her famous giggle in the middle of it all the time. Alice, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Dave. It was really interesting to hear Rob's piece to tee up for us the memorandum from President Trump on housing finance reform, and then Joe also talking about the markets and the impact of, you know, what we have ahead of us. So I think I just wanted to give everybody a little background on the housing finance reform, since we haven't talked about it in a while. This really is just the, you know, the potentially biggest piece of legislation that we could have coming impacting the industry. And I say potentially because, as Joe mentioned, we're not sure what Congress is actually going to do and if they're going to pay attention to it. But once the president issues a memorandum, that's essentially, you know, an order for Congress to act. So I actually was comparing, like, what's a presidential memorandum versus an executive order? Technically, an executive order is published in the Federal Register and is a little higher power, but a memorandum still has the same kind of, you know, put the hammer down effect of law, essentially, that Congress must address this. So with Senator Crapo coming out with the outline, which, for those of you who want to know what are the key topics in housing reform, you can, if you read Senator Crapo's outline, it's only a couple pages. So it really does help you see, you know, what are the main topics? How many players are going to be involved? Is there an explicit guarantee? How does this get funded? And, you know, really, what's the oversight and what should we expect in terms of credit risk transfer, Federal Home Loan Bank role, and then the CFPB as well. So when in all of those topics, a lot of what Senator Crapo has outlined does at the highest level align with where the Mortgage Bankers Association and many others in the housing industry would like this to go. So far we have a lot of, you know, promising news on the table that this will get addressed, and it looks like at least the main topics are on a platform or on a level playing field for discussion, right? We're not at opposite ends where we can see huge battles that would be coming up. There's definitely micro battles within each one of the topics, but at least on the surface, there are things that as an industry, everyone's pretty much in agreement that that's the direction we would want to go with. So one thing that he also said was to readdress CFPB and the fact that, you know, moving that to more of an advisory board format. So for those of you out there, read that housing reform outline. It'll give you an idea of the direction that, at least, again, at a high level that they're planning on going. So the good news for the people on the front lines is it looks like you're still going to have a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, probably still have something like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginnie Mae out there. So if that's all you need to go back to selling, then you're good. Some people go, Alice, how much do I have to really care? And I think we have to care. We want to be involved as an industry.
Absolutely.
But, so far, at least it's getting kicked off, and we'll see what happens from here. So that's my report for today, Dave, and I'll swing it back to you.
Yes. Just got a note. How can we find out what Crapo's put out there? Is it the MBA publishing it? Where's the best way to look at what he has written in the contrast? Anything out there that you're aware of that we just got a text message on that?
Yes, if you use your search bar and you just put Crapo housing reform outline, and then make sure you pick the link from like the White House Access or Crapo's Senator page.
Yep.
So that you don't get jammed up by somebody trying to get you to subscribe to their magazine.
Right.
But it should come up very quickly in your search feed, the housing reform outline by Senator Crapo.
Good. And now we got Trump out there with the Trump administration giving us indications. So, it's good. Excellent. Can't wait to see where this all goes. Alice, I appreciate it. You walking through the snow. I cannot believe it's snowing up there. Gosh, I grew up in Minnesota, so I understand those late, early spring kind of snow flurries that happen. So sorry I haven't had to deal with that. Come south. We've got some good golf courses just waiting for you and Andy to get out on. So appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you.
Each week. You bet. That's Alice Alvey, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage, with our legislative update. So grateful to you, Alice, for being here each and every week. Some people don't know who you are. We got a lot of new listeners, and so I want to make sure that they know who you are. Anyway, let's run over to Knowledge Group, talking about how to train people in a fun and easy way.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Cube. Are you a teacher or coach, either professionally or aspirationally? Then let me share these words from Ben Franklin as inspiration. Tell me and I forget, teach me and I may remember, but involve me and I learn. Benjamin Franklin's famous quote has since been proven by science and educators, and they now call it experiential learning, and it's sage advice for anyone in the mortgage industry. So do you have some training to do? Then check out the Knowledge Cube for fun and easy video-based training for mortgage professionals out there, and it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Encourage you to check that out, folks. They've got some great training material out there. And anyone who's wanted to advertise with us, one of the requirements is to put out information in a format that is educational and providing thought leadership. And they do provide leadership when it comes to video production and how you do it. Beyond just training, then check out Vidyard, because they're an outstanding technology that we use for so many ways to communicate your message via video. If you're not using video, folks, you're missing the boat. Alan Pollack, good to have you here with us with this week's weekly tech update. And so you and I had a bet, didn't we?
We did, and it looks like I'll be paying. So why don't you let everybody know, the bet number one was that I said, I bet you $5 that at the MBA Technology Conference, you're going to see more vendors focused on know your customer, the life of the customer outside or beyond the transaction. And what did you let everybody know? What did you wind up seeing?
Well, you know, and maybe it was because it was my focus. What is that if you buy a red Toyota, all of a sudden you never saw a red Toyota until you buy it, and then all of a sudden it's everywhere?
Right.
So that could be part of the problem here. But honestly, there were, number one, way more vendors than there were lenders. I think that's my observation. But it was really good. It was a great conference. The lenders that were there all said they benefited from it. Now, what's also interesting, Alan, is that the sessions that had the greatest number of people attending it were those sessions that had to do with artificial intelligence. So there is really a lot of attention going to that. So artificial intelligence carried the day when it came to topics. And again, maybe that's because that's the sessions I was in. But I did walk into a number of the other sessions, see who was there. And I mean, they were well attended, but there was, from if you look at the agenda and what's out there, way more about what's happening in this world. And a lot of it, what's really interesting is contrasting. Our good mutual friend and your old boss, Brian Fitzpatrick, did a good job at his panel talking about with LoanLogix. I don't know if I said that.
Sure.
LoanLogix. did a great job of contrasting between fact and fiction, you know, fact and fantasy, what to be expecting. And I think they did their best to attempt that. But what was really interesting is no one's focusing where I'm really focusing on. That's on the front side. And we're seeing a lot of things develop on the front side of the whole AI platform. So everyone's talking about how it can be effective at servicing, how it can help you in underwriting, save you costs. I mean, those are all valid areas. But the areas that was probably the most that I was hearing, well, hoping to hear more on, had to do on the front end, on the sales process, how artificial intelligence coming in make a huge difference. But anyway, that's my report from being there, missing you there, but it's good to have you here. So what you got?
Oh, I missed you too. And you know what? I will send you $5. So we'll tally that. If you can stay on the line after the show.
Add it to the tab. I don't know who's ahead in our bets or not. Add it to the tab. Buy me a drink.
So yeah, earlier you told me AI ruled and reigned, which I'm not surprised. I do want to mention something real quick. There's a company out there called Black Ops. They're a chatbot strategy company. And they just have a lot of published content on how to write for a chatbot, how to expect to put a chatbot in market. They have a Twitter, and they also have a company page. You want to check them out. They've got some really good content. Black Ops. Yep, I can put the link out there. And, you know, David, you mentioned something. So we talk about AI and where it is. You know, many people are talking about behavioral data. Well, you know, we probably all saw on the news, HUD and Facebook are, again, in legal trouble. Facebook is, based on housing discrimination and how they narrow target. And so That's right. If you've ever advertised in Facebook, you can narrow right down to a specific demographic and a specific geographical area. And Facebook, I believe they own, I think it's something like 30% of the market as far as internet traffic, or 40%. So if you think about how the data they collect, the behavioral data they have, and how they let you almost indirectly discriminate based on how you want to advertise, HUD has been looking at that. And I'm sure many people have complained. So keep your eyes on that. Alice, that may be something that you'll bring to light for us shortly. A couple quick comments, and I want to talk about an interesting article. First, Equifax and FICO introduced a strategic partnership that's going to deliver data decisions in the cloud. And what's unique about this is it's a broad strategic alignment that would enable organizations, so tech vendors, lenders, financial institutions, to explore this differentiated data across these two organizations and the metrics and the analytics they've created. And what they're saying is you uncover deep new insights, highly predictive models, and rapidly deploy decisions into production systems across the customer lifecycle. You know, this is interesting, David, because I built something many years ago that worked with TransUnion. We took a whole bunch of data that we sent over, let's say 10, 15 fields, and we received back a couple hundred. And we used that to create really a picture. We painted a picture about a servicing portfolio. And we used those analytics to actually do predictive analytics. So think about 10 years forward, not only how much data do we collect off the data points we always had, but how many new data points do we have? And, you know, this really is a gold mine of data. So if you're interested and you're working in that area, you want to check out that new collaboration. I also thought this was kind of interesting. There's a company out there. It's called FDX. I don't know, for the banks and credit unions on the line here, it's called the Financial Data Exchange, FDX. They just did a deal with FormFree. FDX is really focused on the financial institution side. They work with data aggregators, fintechs, and banking core processors. This new relationship helps create new technical standards for income asset and the other types of data that FormFree works with. Today, FDX, by the way, is partnered with American Express, Blend, First Bank, Fiserv, Goldman Sachs, Navy Federal, and many others. So interesting news there for FormFree. Also, you may have seen and you probably heard at MBA Technology, the MBA Insights 2019 Tech Award went out, and there were four folks. I hope I don't mess up their names, but our good friend, Lori Brewer, was on there, founder and CEO of MBAware. Yeah, Paul Akinmaid, Chief Marketing Officer, so CMO over at CMG Financial. Kara Lampier, Chief Operating Officer at Mid-America Mortgage, and Lori Pyle, Chief Operating Officer at Factum, Inc. There's great articles, by the way, at MBA. They've each put out their companies have put out their own press releases, so you can get a more detailed review. Just feel free to head over to the MBA, and you can find that. David, you probably also didn't see, or you did see, that the MBA put out their fourth quarter cost to originate a loan. Andy, I know your ears are tweaking in the upward direction right now. It came out to be $8,174 for the third quarter. And it looks like bankers saw their total loan production expense increase to 362 basis points, $8,611 in the fourth quarter from $8,174 in the third quarter. So that price continues to teeter in that very, very high number. Of course, it is a fully baked price. It includes a lot of different things, but it does include technology. And it was kind of interesting because right after I read that, I saw something that said, hey, refinances, are you ready? Have you spent the off season? This time in the purchase market,
get your technology ready.
So I'm not a forecaster. I don't know if refinances are back. Rates obviously continue to stay very low and teeter around that area. But if you have been working on a strategy, a go-to-market strategy with your technology, something with your partners and your vendors, you want to consider, make sure that you included that refinance workflow and make sure that you've stress tested your systems, meaning that you can handle a certain number of concurrent users at the same time, and your system can accept your integrations with your LOS systems. All those things all work. I'm sure you figured that out, but I thought I'd throw that out there. And then, David, you know, on Friday last week, Les Parker, our good friend Les, sent over an article to me, a very, very interesting article. It was from Financial Times. It was called The End of Year 2018 Survey of Chief Risk Officers. And, you know, whenever we think about technology, we always think about the tech team and, you know, the protective sort of curtain that they draw over themselves. We also think about the CEO and the executive team, but we always forget about, you know, the risk managers. And so this was an interesting article. What it said is banks risk managers are most concerned about cyber ... And there was a couple things in here. And cybersecurity risk, by the way, is the number one item. It has increased as far as the level of risk. It blows everything else away. But underneath it are sort of some other ones. And these all really fall under cybersecurity risk. So I just want to read these real quick. The first one is credit risk. It actually increased 7 points. And so that's the second item. So if you think about cybersecurity risk and then credit risk, they all go together, right? The data has to be accurate. It has to be validated. It has to be secured. And nobody could have messed with the data, right? So the more automation, the AI, the digital prowess that we have that makes all these systems work, well, that credit risk is extremely important. And then it's the credit risk of the loan, the models we're using. Are we evaluating the loan correctly? Are we determining that credit risk up front? That falls, again, of course, very closely with cyber risk. And then you know what's next? This dropped, meaning that, and I'm going to tell you why, very interesting. This dropped over 15 points. It was number three in the list, regulatory implementation. And how interesting is that? That we're up on credit risk, but down on regulatory implementation. I think that just means that the vendor partners that we're working with today as lenders and financial institutions are implementing the things we need in order to be regulatory compliant. And I would say that's accurate. I just thought it was interesting how much it dropped on
that
the survey.
Yeah.
And the last three items on this little survey here, operational risk was up 7 points. Operational risk includes a lot of things. It's not just technology. It includes business continuity. It includes disaster planning. It includes the risk of intellectual property that you create with your technology solutions, what you've implemented in, you know, losing staff and the churn. And so that was interesting. The risk to technology architecture was up. And you know what's interesting about this one is that these vendors that are out there, and when I say these, I mean I love you all because I've been a vendor many times, but these vendors, there is a risk because of the architecture. How fast are they moving with artificial intelligence and all these great things? And what does their balance sheet look like? Can they implement what's needed? And can, even not their risk, your risk, can you implement them in the time frame you need? So we could have a whole session about that, but I just wanted to mention that the very last one was the ability to conduct risk, which went down 11 points. So there you have it. You can get it at the Financial Times. Great article. You can perceive a lot of values from that. But David, with that, it's going to be a great week, and that's it for today's Tech Report.
Appreciate it. Also, check out Black Ops. We're going to put, listeners, we're going to put those links in that I've been looking at as you look as you're going, because we're using a lot with chatbotting. We just signed a contract with a company, very excited about this one, Drift.com, and using them starting as soon as we get up and running. So it's so good that you brought that up. Give them a big shout out, Drift. If you do that, let us know or use our name when you go in there. Talk to them. It'll, at least they'll have a reference for you. So thanks, Alan. Good job. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everybody.
You bet. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is in the house. See you there with your lab coat, your stethoscope, touching everything that's financial. So
hi, Dave.
Webinar time again. Webinar time, I know.
Yeah, you know, and this week is on hedging. And so, you know, with from the perspective
so
of
important.
Financial, it's really about understanding. So this week we're going to pull back the curtain and expose the Wizard of Oz. We're going to take the secondary marketing black box that nobody's allowed to touch, and we're going to open it and take everything apart. So if you've ever wanted to know what's in the secondary marketing hedging black box, this is the time to pay attention, because we're going to cover it. We're going to expose it all, understand all the components. We're going to go over how hedging works, what inputs are needed, the importance of the various inputs, what are some of the implementation risks, and then what every CEO and CFO must understand about hedging. Anytime a CEO walks up to me and says, man, my secondary market department is awesome, we made money on my payoffs, that tells me that that person knows nothing about hedging. And
yep.
Their secondary marketing department is doing a horrible job in communicating the reality of multifaceted elements of, if you have a gain in your payoffs, it means you have a lower loan sale gain, and that higher gain in your payoff has to be used to offset the lower price you got when you sold your loans. Same thing when someone says, oh, I got a payoff cost. Oh, my gosh, secondary market's messed up. No, that's not correct at all. Having to pay a payoff means you made more money when you sold the loan, and that is used to offset to preserve your secondary marketing gain. Anytime someone says these things, complains about payoff costs, or is proud about a payoff gain, it means they don't understand hedging, and secondary marketing did a horrible job in explaining the business. So you've got to take that black box, open it up, and make certain the president and the CFO fully understand this stuff. Hey, one other point about this is that when we think about our locked pipeline, so our locked pipeline is the commitments we've made to customers to provide financing to them in the future. So that commitment we've made to a customer, are we able to get out of that commitment if rates go up, or are we allowed to get out of that commitment if rates go down? No. we have a contractual commitment to that customer. That contractual commitment to that customer is a mandatory commitment. If the customer wants to proceed with a transaction, we are obligated to fulfill that transaction irrespective of what happened in the market. But now the customer, they have what we call a put. They don't have to accept it. And just when rates go down and we have a gain in our locked pipeline, what's the customer going to do? Well, they're going to go somewhere else. So you can have this big derivative asset with all this gain, and suddenly it leaves simply because customers go across the street and get a loan somewhere else. This stuff is important. It's impactful. It drives profitability. It drives P&L impact. And every CEO and CFO should understand it. So this webinar is designed for accountants, but anybody in mortgage banking, in my view, should understand at least the basics of how all this fits together. And that's what we're going to talk about, Dave. So you can still sign up.
Yeah.
The webinar is Wednesday. Go through the mba.org, go to education, go to live webinars, and there you will find it along with the other two that are still pending on advanced accounting. But this one, I tell you, Dave, this webinar this week on hedging, we're going to go over other things like DVP for MBS, PSA versus CPR. You got to know the language. You got to know all the words, R squared. What does the correlation coefficient have to do with negative convexity? We're going to cover all that, and we're going to make it so people understand this stuff so we don't have to scratch our head whenever we walk out of the secondary marketing manager's office having no clue what they just said. Anytime that happens, it's time to stop, turn around, go back, sit back down and say that to me again in English. Don't use your big buzzwords. If you know this stuff well, you should be able to explain it to me. We've got to get knowledge out to the people who use it and rely on the P&L to make business decisions when it's impacted so dramatically by the folks in secondary marketing. So that's my soapbox, Dave, so I get excited about it. I know Joe is on board with me about this too, about the level of complexity and the level of misunderstanding. But anyway, we're going to talk about it. So join the webinar this Wednesday.
Good job. Get signed up. It's so important. I heard you stop, drop. It made me think of the fire. You know, stop, drop, and roll. Stop,
right.
Drop, and roll over to catch the webinar. That's good. Yeah. Excellent. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Dave.
You do a good job of taking the complex and making it easier to understand. Some of it can hurt your head, but Andy can help give you aspirin and can make that knowledge go in and stay there a little bit better. So great. Good job. Good luck. I'm hearing great things about the webinar again from the MBA. You're doing a great job. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Dave. We get good marks. So we're fortunate.
You do get good marks. Not surprising.
You've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Last time we examined the first element of a story, a relatable hero. Today I want to examine the next essential element every story needs, a relevant challenge. The challenge is the obstacle or opportunity your hero faces. For example, a company, one of your competitors perhaps, could be the obstacle. A particular situation could be the challenge. These are gold mines for scenario-based stories. The economy, another gold mine for stories for millennials and seniors alike. Robbed of their ability to purchase a new home if it were not for you. Please note your challenge does not always have to be negative. An opportunity, for example, could be the challenge to which your hero rises. Without a challenge or obstacle, your stories are boring and useless. Let's take a look at a series of escalated challenges. Sally goes to the store, who cares, to buy some groceries, still don't care, for her 5-year-old daughter, Carolyn, who is sick and hasn't eaten in days because her home was robbed. Their food and emergency money were taken, and her paycheck from her second job will not be deposited for another 3 days. Okay, now I care. It's up to you to understand the purpose of the story and scale the relevant challenge with what your relatable hero is capable of, as well as serving the overall message of your story. Challenges face both you and your borrowers on a daily basis. Make note of them, harness them, and make them your own to turn yourself into a story-selling machine. Remember, crafting effective stories is a science. There are formulas to follow that will yield measurable and proven results. It's not magic, it's the science of sales.
Of course,
course, our newest sponsor is back. It's actually like bringing him back. You know, they go away like kids every once in a while, but they come back because this is a great place to advertise. We're thrilled to have Finastra back as an advertiser. Finastra's Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity and greater market share. That's something we all could use a little bit more of. Most lenders are needing more market share. So check out Finastra, F-I-N-A-S-T-R-A, and Fusion Mortgage Bot product.